everyone. What about this, eh? Half a year worth of punts in the bag and we're still here, alive and kicking. Although having a glance at that naps table, maybe Derek needs checking for a pulse. Good job he's funny, eh? Or so he tells us. Here's Bits coming up and we'll also have number crunches on the 3 o'clock. While Pete Farries, Gav P and Al Ross give you their best bets in the Football League. Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool bid to keep their run going against Manchester United and DK and Alex are going to be dissecting that one shortly. But the guys start at Vicarage Road where Watford take on Spurs and DK, what an incredible job Nigel Pearson's doing. Are Watford the bet in the opener?
I really think they are a bet in the opener. Watford taking on Spurs. We'll get to the game very shortly. Alex Dunn alongside me here in the studio. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, all good. Looking forward to the weekend's action. Just the 4 televised games this time, but yeah, looking forward to it.
I think there's some good bets here, though. You said you were tentative with your selections last week. I got the first game spot on as well, with Sheffield United beating West Ham by 1-0. I think there were some good bets in these fixtures.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I like this game, to be honest. And I know you do as well, so let's crack on.
Watford 11-5 to win the match. The draw in the betting at 12-5. Spurs are 5-4. If you fancy a match result and both teams to score, bet Watford 9-2 in that market, which I do like. The draw 29-10 and Spurs 3-1. This is getting the best bet out of the way early here because I think Watford are the best bet on the coupon this weekend. We missed them last week, didn't we? They were an obvious bet against Bournemouth away from home. Won that game 3-0. And they're going up against a Spurs side that I'm negative and downbeat on at the moment. Spurs were beaten by Liverpool last weekend 1-0. It was a very, I suppose, very tentative team selection from Jose Mourinho. Went with Serge Aurier in midfield and it didn't quite work out. I thought they were dominated in the centre of the park, which surprised me.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with Aurier because I put him up about 6 weeks ago and said he will score soon, but he hasn't yet. I still think he is worth a look when he's crazy prices.
I'll just give you the price very quickly. 40-1 he is to score first. Yeah. 16-1 to score any time. If he's deployed again in midfield, I don't think he will be. But
even if it's a back three and he's a wing back, it's still...
He had a shot on target in that game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But it's worth a look anyway.
Yeah.
It was a tentative team selection, but I don't see what else he could have done, really. They don't have a backup striker. In the form of a proper striker, old school. I quite like Son and Moura as a fluid two with Ali in there and Eriksen if he's starting or if not a more solid base behind.
Yeah,
I still think it'll cause problems and I like Spurs without Kane almost as much as I like Spurs with Kane.
They
genuinely
don't win without Harry Kane though.
To watch they are.
Yeah, I know.
Better.
But it's about results. No,
as a neutral, purely as a neutral.
Okay.
When I see Spurs lining up like that, I think, oh, this could be interesting because I think they can trouble teams and they troubled Liverpool. Watford, though, are the...
They're the form horse, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're the resurgent team. You said that it was an obvious pick against Bournemouth. Well, in hindsight, it was. But if you go back to this time last week, we were still deliberating whether Bournemouth were the pits yet. And they weren't, were they? They were teetering, and you thought, right, this is the result that could get them out if they were to win.
Yeah.
I think I played a draw in the end, 1-1 draw, which obviously didn't land, but now we know Bournemouth are in a real mess. Nevertheless, Watford were good, and they have been good since Nigel Pearson took over, and this will be a stiff test for Spurs, who I'm still surprised to see odds against, but they are odds against, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I'm just checking they hadn't got shorter since I looked. I think you have to be pro Watford here. For all I've extolled the virtues of Son and Lucas Moura, and they are worth a look if you are looking for a pro Spurs bet. Because I think we'll see a few goals in this game. But yeah, I think I'd probably have to come down on the side of Watford as well.
Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet away from home in the Premier League this season. Watford are definitely the bet, standout bet this weekend.
I would be more pro Watford than I am pro Spurs. I thought about putting Deeney to score in a Watford win up here, but I'm going to play it a little safer and just go for Troy Deeney. Yes, Nigel Pearson's come in and he's been fantastic, but it's also coincided with a return to form and fitness for Deeney. He's the focal point of these Watford attacks and he's a fair price to get on the score sheet here. Don't forget, of course, he takes penalties and he's very good from the spot as well. I think we could see a few goals here. I will take the result out of it, but if you are looking for a result, I would go pro Watford. But for me, I'll play Deeney anytime.
Deeney anytime for Alex Sam, definitely with Watford to win that game at Vicarage Road. Now, crunching the numbers this week, it's Ben Barrett.
There are no fewer than six 3pm Premier League kickoffs this Saturday, with implications at the top and bottom of the table. Let's take a look at three of them and crunch some numbers for a selection. Sheffield United may have come up short in recent away trips to the Premier League's top two, but have been relatively consistent on the road this season. The Blades hadn't suffered defeat away from Bramall Lane prior to their trip to Man City in December. Factor in that Arsenal's 2-0 win over Manchester United on New Year's Day was their first at home since October, and the Blades may fancy their chances of containing a Gunners side who, without their top marksman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Sheffield United's last six games have seen under 2.5 goals scored. The same applies for five of the last six Arsenal games, so adding to that statistic is the way to go here. Manchester City have already scored 62 goals this season, and Pep Guardiola's men put six past Aston Villa last time out, three past their neighbours United in the League Cup, as well as four more in the FA Cup third round. In fact, the last time City failed to score twice or more in any competition was 11 games ago, again against United in their league clash in December. Crystal Palace have one of the stingiest defences of anyone in the league, conceding just 24 times so far this season, so may provide the stiffest test the likes of Aguero, Mahrez and co have faced in a while. But last season, these two exchanged 9 goals in 2 games, and City dominated at Selhurst Park in October. More goals for Pep's side here, then, back then to find the net on multiple occasions. One of the surprising additions to the form table has been the resurgence of Southampton since Christmas. Ralph Hasenhüttl looked like a man on the verge of being sacked before their festive period included wins over Chelsea, Tottenham and Leicester, with the goals of Danny Ings being a key part of that turnaround. Ings notched the winner at the King Power last week, as well as scoring vital goals against Aston Villa and Crystal Palace, and he'll fancy his chances against a Wolves side who have leaked goals on the road in the league of late. Anytime goal scorer, first scorer or even to find the net more than once all appeal, but in a likely home win, a Danny Ings Wincast is standout value.
Let's move on to Newcastle versus Chelsea at St James's Park. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday for this one. And Newcastle in the market at 5-1. The draw is 17-5. Chelsea 52-100. Check out the full range of markets, including the enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app ahead of this one. Your team in action against Chelsea. They had that spell around Christmas where they won 3-4 Newcastle, but they've only picked up one Premier League point since, and that was against Wolverhampton Wanderers at Molineux. Not a bad point to pick up.
No.
As a Newcastle fan, are you looking up the table, or are you still over your shoulder thinking about what might happen if they get any more injuries?
Yeah, very much looking down.
Yeah.
That is the nature of being a... Well, to be fair, of most of those teams in that group,
they're not
looking up and thinking, we could finish 7th or 8th here if we get a good run going. They're thinking, let's just get out of this.
Get to 40 points.
Yeah. Yeah, Premier League-wise, since Boxing Day, it hasn't been great for Newcastle. But that Wolves point, I think, will be a bit of a turning point. Mm. Players are now coming back to fitness. They had the win in midweek against Rochdale, which, yes, it's against Rochdale. It's a replay that they probably shouldn't have needed. But there were no more injuries that came out of that game. Jamal Lascelles came back, the captain. He played an hour. Miguel Almiron scored again. Joe Linton scored. So there's actually a lot more positives came out of that game than seemed likely when they drew the first game. I really, really struggled here. And obviously, we cover Newcastle games a fair bit. I am a Newcastle fan, but I'd like to think I'm not biased.
Yeah.
I really struggled to find a pro-Chelsea bet here.
I think they are
appallingly short.
I'm looking at Almiron. 11-2 to score anytime is decent, isn't it?
He scored four now in, I think, 7 games since he got his first goal. And of course, it took him a long time to get the first. But all of a sudden, he just looks a little more composed, and that could be worth a look. I don't think Chelsea deserves to be this short.
Chelsea's season's been strange, hasn't it? Because they're clearly a club in transition, as we've talked about throughout the entire campaign. Mm. And 1 week they look like world beaters. The next week they're losing at home to Southampton and Bournemouth. So it's difficult to know, to anticipate and know what to expect from Chelsea to a certain extent. And yeah, I wouldn't want to be on at this sort of price.
No, their away form on the whole has been really good this season. They went on that fantastic run, having lost away at Man U first day, then won loads of away games back to back. And they are a really good side, and they're worthy favourites for this game. And they probably should go to St James's Park and win. But if you're backing them at basically twos on, I think you... I think it's ridiculously short. I could see Chelsea winning this, but I don't think that they'll steamroller Newcastle at all. As a result, you have to look pro-Newcastle. You mentioned the Almiron bet. I do like that 11-2. But I'm going to have to be pro-Newcastle, I'm afraid.
I've just been looking through the markets for this game, as we've spoken about. Goal scorer bets here. I like Almiron. I'm going to go with that as my pick here.
Yeah, he's been in really, really good form since he got the monkey off his back, so to speak. He's gone on a really, really good run of form. And he could well score again here. He's attractively priced to do so.
Yeah.
Chelsea just way too short to consider for me. They could well go and win, but if they're winning at the price that they are, you can let them because they're too short. So I'm going to have to be pro Newcastle. I thought about putting double chance up because sometimes it's best to play it safe, but I'm going to go for it here. Home win. Chelsea don't have a fantastic record at St James's Park, just two wins at St James's in the last decade. I'm going for Newcastle here at a big price.
And as you mentioned, not a biased Newcastle fan either. You take them on when it warrants it.
Yeah.
But going with them on this occasion, yeah. Newcastle to win the game. Let's now get stuck into Derek's bit. I think this is the best one he's ever done as far as I'm concerned. So let's hear from Derek ahead of this weekend.
They say in newspapers you should never let the facts ruin a good story. That's the job of the sub-editors. That's why so many newspapers have this week ran the old line about Fergie and Manchester United knocking Liverpool off their perch. It makes nice reading, unless you're a Liverpool fan, but it's as close to the truth as a lonely heart's had. I used to be a lonely heart, by the way, and once sent my details to a computer dating site saying I was looking for someone who enjoyed water sports, light company, favoured formal attire, and was on the petite side. They sent me a penguin. By the time Fergie picked up his first title at Old Trafford in 1993, Liverpool had long been knocked off their perch by Arsenal, by Leeds, by Sheffield Wednesday and by Manchester City, all of whom had finished ahead of them over the previous two seasons. Indeed, the year Fergie ended decades of misery for United by winning the championship, Norwich and QPR got more points than Liverpool. I suppose it stands to reason the Canaries should knock Liverpool off their perch. Fergie is to the truth what I am to successful punting. Phil Jones is the new Duncan Edwards, he said. David Moyes is the ideal replacement for me, he said. I'm just having the one, thanks, barman, he said. United travelled to Anfield this weekend about as low on confidence as it's possible to be, and I know all about that feeling. In fact, if having low confidence and low self-esteem was an Olympic sport, I'd probably get bronze. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's men are 27 points behind Liverpool after 22 games, and that should worry them even more than having Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as their manager. Solskjaer's message doesn't seem to be getting through. Something seems to be lost in translation. Usually it's matches. But do United, ordinary as they are, deserve to be as long as 7-1 to collect 3 points at Anfield, which has been a happy hunting ground for them in recent seasons? Liverpool have won only one of the last five at Anfield in the league against them. What's more, five of the last seven Premier League meetings between these two teams have finished all square, including the reverse fixture at Old Trafford earlier in the season. The only points Liverpool have dropped in the league for the past 318 seasons. It's against all logic to tip a United win. On Merseyside, it's also against the law. But United at 17-10 with a goal start is something to recommend it. That's the good news for you. The bad news for you is that something is me. Things are so bleak for Norwich and Bournemouth that Saturday's match isn't being labelled a six-pointer. It's called a what's-the-pointer. Norwich are about as good as down, and Bournemouth are about as good as Norwich. Bournemouth's plight is a perfect example of what happens when people not up to the job are paid too much money. My bet on this podcast is another. Bournemouth again and a reputation for paying huge sums for bad Liverpool players, but other than that I can't think of a nice thing to say about them. That said, they've won as many away games in the Premier League this season as Man United, and on the trappy weekend of fixtures they just about deserve NAP status at 11-5.
Derek's best bet then, Bournemouth this week taking on Norwich in that basement battle.
Just spoke about them.
Yeah.
I called them the pits.
It's a bold and risky bet, isn't it, from Derek?
I think, well, I know actually that this fixture, the reverse fixture, I put goals up and it finished 0-0.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I read earlier this week, by the way, Callum Wilson's last shot on target in the Premier League was in October.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
If that's right, that is absolutely ridiculous. It just shows Bournemouth, because I still think of them as being really free-flowing and attacking and defensively a bit loose.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not. They haven't been very good recently.
No, they're not good.
It's a braver man than me that would nap them in current form.
Yeah, definitely.
But Derek is a braver man than me. So.
Burnley have gone since September without a draw in the Premier League. They take on Leicester City this weekend. Burnley 16-5 to win the game. The draw 27-10 with Leicester in the betting at 17-20. Don't forget, you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app. Just tweet at William Hill with your bet using that hashtag Your Odds and the traders will attempt to price it up. That's something completely different, building your odds that way, as to doing it online. But you can do that as well to get a special bet if you wish to do so. Burnley-Leicester City. Should we talk about this match?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah. Burnley, you think about Burnley at home at Turf Moor and you think 16-5 against a side that's not Manchester City or Liverpool is good. But they've gone and they've lost the last four Premier League games. They can't score a goal at the moment, Burnley. And Leicester, I think they'll want to bounce back quickly after that defeat against Southampton. I think the reverse fixture had something to do with that. They were they humiliated Southampton at St Mary's, winning 9-0. And players remember that sort of thing, don't they? And Southampton were clearly up for that game last week. They've got a fantastic goal-scoring striker in Danny Ings at the moment. I don't know what's going to happen in this game.
I think Leicester will win.
Do you?
Yeah. Burnley, like you said, they have really been struggling recently. And it is the fact that Burnley have been all or nothing, as you mentioned. No home draw this season, full stop, in the league. Just makes me think, well, do I think they're going to do a job on Leicester? Because when Burnley win, they tend to win 1-0, they tend to win 2-0, they tend to scrap it out, basically. Do you think they can shut Leicester out? I don't, personally.
No, I think Leicester have got so much quality, haven't they? And they've got a striker that's quite well rested in Jamie Vardy as well, because he's had his issues, hasn't he, in terms of injuries this season. So yeah I think I can see him really starting to pick up from a goal scoring perspective in the second half of the season.
He obviously was in phenomenal form through November into December, and then he had a few games off, and then he's come back and he hasn't hit those heights yet. He hasn't scored for a couple of games since he's been back. But I think he will score here. Now, often we say, or it's often a school of thought of mine, that Vardy's at his best against teams that play a high line.
Yes.
And I don't expect Burnley to do that. But I just think the pace that he has will cause problems for the likes of, let's say, Ben Mee, who I just think Vardy will have the edge on that Burnley back four. Incredible stat that Burnley don't score first half goals either. Yeah. So it could well be, if you were looking for a pro Leicester bet here, maybe half-time, full-time could be the way to go, just for a slightly juicier price. I don't want to focus on Vardy for the whole preview, but I do think he'll score in the game and I do think Leicester will win, and that will eventually be the pick, I think. But I just think Leicester will have too much, and I actually think they're a fair price. Leicester away from home this season have only dropped points at Chelsea, Man United, Man City and Liverpool. Mm. That is not bad going as far as I'm concerned. And I think they'll go and pick up 3 points again here. It can't be underestimated just how good Leicester have been this season. The fact that their results in the last, four, five, six games haven't quite lived up to the previous 10 should not dampen what has been an incredible season for them.
Just to spin through a couple of prices on bets that you mentioned there. Leicester to be leading at half-time is available at 7-5. Leicester to be leading at half-time and win the match is 17-10, if you fancy that. It's a difficult betting proposition for me. I'm not sure what's going to happen here. I look at Burnley at Turf Moor and think this is an attractive price, but they've lost four straight Premier League games now. They just can't score at the moment, Burnley. That's why I think Leicester will squeak a tight one here.
Yeah, I'm quite sweet on Leicester, to be honest. I just think they'll have way too much for Burnley. You mentioned Burnley struggling, and I think Leicester will add to their woes here. Jamie Vardy, for me, is the man to focus on. Scored in the reverse fixture this season, scored here at Turf Moor a couple of seasons ago as well. I just think he'll stretch the defence, and I think Leicester will come out comfortable winners. So, best bet of the weekend for me, Vardy to score in a Leicester win at quite a nice price. I think they're attractively priced this time around.
Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win then, one of the better bets this weekend according to Alex. Now let's hear from Vincent Kompany. He joined David Alorca at a recent FWA event and he speaks about Manchester City's exploits so far this season.
Man City are currently struggling to keep up with Liverpool at the moment. What needs to be done to close the gap?
I think stay calm. I would always say stay calm. It's an experienced team, it's a team with that don't have to prove anything to anybody. They've done it, they know what it takes to get to that level. And they know as well, I say it's not always about just one season, you know, within, it's about an era, it's about a period of time. So you might not achieve all your targets, but maybe the best one is still to come. Maybe it's the Champions League, maybe it's a different kind of treble. You know, so much still to look forward to, and I would always look at the opportunities rather than the difficulties.
Very statesman-like, Vincent Kompany, quite non-committal about Manchester City's slight struggles in the Premier League so far this season. says that the club have to exact a little bit of patience. And the Champions League, I think, will end up being the focus for Manchester City.
Yeah, but it has been in other seasons as well. It doesn't guarantee success. I do think they've got a good chance, though. They are favourites, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I'll spin you through the betting. 7-2 Manchester City to win the Champions League. Liverpool in the betting at 4-1. Barca 5-1. PSG 15-2. Bayern Munich 15-2. 10-1 for Juve. 14-1 and bigger the remainder. I ask you off air, find out when the Champions League is back. I'm missing the Champions League. And it's not for a while yet.
No, it's not. If you're looking for an outright pick, yeah? I find it really hard to look away from Man City and Liverpool. Mm. Which sounds basic, they're the first and second favourites. But I've not seen anything across Europe in the Champions League or domestically so far this season.
It's a strong time for the Premier League,
that really
isn't it?
Scares me. And obviously we had a very good time of things in Europe last year.
Yeah.
I think those two will dominate again. And with the Premier League going the way that it's going, it could well be that the title's wrapped up fairly early. We've seen the disdain that Jurgen Klopp has shown for domestic cup competitions. So I don't think that'll be a concern. So I think for Liverpool, it'll be Premier League and Champions League. That's the aim. And for Man City now, it's going to be Champions League and FA Cup. So all to play for. But yeah, I'd make it between those two. If you're favouring one, it has to be Liverpool. They're the better team at the minute.
They take on Manchester United this weekend. Liverpool are 38-100 to win the game. They draw 15-4 with Manchester United 15-2. A match result in both teams to score. Liverpool 19-10 in that market. They draw 24-5 with Manchester United 11-1. This is obviously an age-old rivalry, but it doesn't have as much on it as it used to because Manchester United are in, I've mentioned it a couple of times, they're in a transitional period, aren't they, Manchester United? And
is transitional period polite code for just being a bit naff?
Yeah, they are a bit naff, aren't they? They are a bit naff at the moment. They were okay against Wolves midweek in that FA Cup replay, but I didn't think it was a tremendous performance.
No. For all I'm saying, they're a bit naff. They're still picking up fair results,
yeah, they are.
And they're still in an okay position in the table given how they've been perceived this season. They're not getting nearly as much stick as, say, Arsenal have done, or you know, they're not doing that badly. But the gulf between these two is massive at the minute, and that will hurt Manchester United fans.
Well, what do you make to Jurgen Klopp's substandard record against Manchester United? Can you read anything into that?
No.
Derek mentioned it earlier. Yeah. They've got it's a really poor record against Manchester United.
It is something that you have to factor in. The thing that I took from looking at the head-to-head record is that there aren't many games that have loads of goals in between this pair. They're often quite trappy events, and that could be something that you can make money on Sunday afternoon, because I just think we could be in for another quite low-scoring event here, particularly when you factor in Liverpool's clean sheet record recently, which since the start of December, they let two in against Everton in the Merseyside derby, and since then, domestically, they haven't conceded a goal when they've had their full team out. I think I highlighted that last week.
Yeah.
You forget that Villa game. That 5-0 was against the kids. We're okay with that. They're just keeping clean sheets for fun at present. Mm. And this is what they did last season.
We're recording this on Thursday morning.
Yep.
We've just seen Manchester United take on Wolves on Wednesday night. Marcus Rashford limped off in that game, having come on as a second-half substitute. Mm. That's a massive concern for Manchester United because they are heavily reliant on Marcus Rashford now.
We've spoken several times on Rashford and Martial and how they dovetail and play really well together. I think if you take Rashford out, Man United really, really struggle. Because Martial doesn't have the work rate. He doesn't have the same ethic that Rashford does. So when you put Martial up front on his own, he looks isolated and sulky sometimes. Mm. He's a really, really talented footballer. But can he take on a Liverpool defence that aren't conceding goals on his own? No. Can Man United get more men forward to support him? They're going to have to, but then that leaves gaps at the back. Dan James, for all he started the season really well, he hasn't petered out. I still think he's a really good player, but he's not.
I agree. I expected him to have an impact on Wednesday night against Wolves. I thought this is the perfect moment for him to explode back into action. It's not quite happening for him at the moment.
I think in an ideal world, he wouldn't be an automatic first choice starter.
Yeah.
But that's sort of an indictment of where Manu are at right now. He's having to play because they don't really have many options. I just find it difficult to see how Man U can trouble Liverpool. Even if Manchester United do manage to score in the game, which they could you see Liverpool going up the other end and scoring two? Quite possibly. But I do want to go back to the fact, I do think it'll be low scoring. So I'd be playing possibly under 1.5 here. Mm. Under 2.5 would be the safe bet. But I do think it'll be pretty tight.
Jurgen Klopp's not got a good record against Manchester United, but that will change here. I'm going Liverpool -1 on the handicap.
Yeah, I looked at that, but I wasn't really taken by the price. And I do think this will be fairly low scoring as well. The recent head-to-heads between the pair haven't seen a whole lot of goals. And let's not forget, Man United did take points off Liverpool, the only team to do so far this season in the Premier League when they met at Old Trafford. But I can only see Liverpool winning this, really.
Yep.
They are a short price to do so, but I think you can side with them. But if you are looking for a bit more value, I'd go for a correct score. I do think it'll be tight. 1-0 and 2-0 are the options, and I think my preference will be for 1-0. I do think it'll be fairly low scoring. I think it will be tight. I think Man U can make it difficult for Liverpool, but I think they will just see it out. 1-0.
OK, Liverpool to win the game at 1-0. Now it's time for the Football League nap, starting with Pete Farries and his pick in the Championship.
This week's nap, I'm going to take the result out of things and just go for over 2.5 goals between Huddersfield and Brentford at even money. There's been a total of 30 goals when you combine the 5-game form of Huddersfield and 5-game form of Brentford recently. And while I do think that Brentford could win this game as well, they're in great form, don't forget, Huddersfield have picked up a few home wins that just ushers me away from looking at the result as well. Overs is a ridiculous price here. It shouldn't be anywhere near even money, and yet it is. Even money for over 2.5 goals in the Huddersfield-Brentford game.
My nap in League One is currently the best side in League One. Top on goal difference, Rotherham United at home to Bristol Rovers. They're 2-1 on, but we're going for goals to boost the price. Rotherham are looking for 5 wins out of 6, and 10 of their last 11 games in all competitions have been over 2.5 goals. Given the fact that Bristol Rovers are struggling at the moment, 3 defeats in 4, and the last 2 away defeats have been 3-0 and 3-0, Rotherham to win and over 2.5 goals at 5-4 is my nap.
How can Plymouth be odds against at home to Mansfield? 11-10 for a side going for promotion whose only failure to win in the last 5 or at home in the last 6 has been to leaders Swindon. Mansfield lost 3 of the last 4, 17 points, 13 places worse off. Since Graham Coughlan was appointed last month, their only win was over a poor Cambridge side, and only after Cambridge had gone down to 10 men. Plymouth, bolstered by on-loan Ryan Hardy scoring on his debut last time out, are somehow 11-10.
Naps from the gents then. You can see the full list behind myself and Alex. I've spoken in detail about my naps, so I won't go into any further conversation about Watford this weekend. I just think there's
thank goodness
Watford 11-5 for me.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I think I mentioned Deeney to play in that game, but I can't put you off that as a nap. I've gone Leicester to win and Vardy to score. I just think it stands out this week, to be honest. I don't think there was anything else that really made me sit up and take notice, with the exception perhaps of Newcastle. 5-1 is a bit big on them. But yeah, Leicester win. Vardy scored 29-20.
Derek was crowing about his winning nap last week. He never looks at this naps table. He's still down there, but he did pick up last week, and you've moved into profit, which is nice.
Yes, I've got you in my sights now, Dave. Just
yeah.
£90
well,
to
go. And I'm plummeting at the moment, so you got a chance. Watford to win for me at 11-5. Alex, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
As always, thank you everyone that's watched or listened to The Punt this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Have a successful betting weekend on the Premier League. And myself and Alex, we will be back next week for a full punt, and we've got a midweek punt coming up because,
oh, we do, yeah,
of course, full fixture list in the Premier League midweek, which is nice.
Mini punt coming your way on Monday, hopefully.
Yeah, Monday for the mini punt. Yeah. So we'll be back then. And if you're having a bet this week, the very best of luck, and we'll see you soon.